This is Ringler Radio, where you get all the latest news and information about structured settlements from Ringler Associates, the first name in structured settlements, helping injured people and their families since 1975. Ringler Radio is made possible in part by Allstate, American General, John Hancock, Liberty Mutual, MetLife, Mutual of Omaha, New York Life, Pacific Life, and Prudential. Now join Ringler Radio host Larry Cohen.
Well, hello and welcome to Ringler Radio, everyone. I'm Larry Cohen, the head of Ringler Associates Northeast Operations, and once again, glad you could join us. Did you know that truck driver fatigue is a contributing factor in as many as 30 to 40% of all crashes involving heavy trucks? That's according to the National Highway Safety Transportation Association. This was brought to collective attention when comedian Tracy Morgan was hurt in a recent tractor-trailer crash. And today on Ringler Radio, we're going to talk about truck driver fatigue and the litigation stemming from many of these incidents, and also what's being done to help prevent truck driver fatigue and having those tired drivers off the road. And joining us today for that discussion is attorney David Bros from the Langdon and Emerson Law Firm in Lexington, Missouri. David has been practicing law in state and federal courts across the country and also has an MBA from the University of Missouri in Columbia. And as a former partner in a civil litigation defense firm, he defended various Fortune 500 companies in both personal injury and commercial litigation, with an emphasis on product liability and trucking cases. David now puts his understanding of defense tactics and strategies to work on behalf of victims all across the country. So, David, welcome to the show. You've had a defense background. Now you're representing a lot of the plaintiffs in these cases. It's a very interesting career for you.
It has been, and Larry, thank you for having me on the show to talk about a topic which I do think is very important, is gaining some national recognition, unfortunately, with the events involving Tracy Morgan.
No question. Well, joining me today also as my co-host is my colleague and friend John Muir. John joined Ringler Associates in 2013 and provides expertise to clients regarding financial security and investments. He attends mediations and settlement conferences for his clients and provided judicial training for the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, commissioners, arbitrators, and staff attorneys. He presents structured settlement CLE and CE programs for professionals in the industry, and he's also an attorney licensed in Illinois. John, welcome to Ringler Radio, and I just want to tell our audience, anything to do with workers' comp, John Muir is our guy, our go-to guy. So, John, welcome to Ringler Radio. Thanks for being my co-host.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Well, the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, is re-examining the risks associated with fatigued truck drivers after that recent tractor-trailer crash critically injured actor and comedian Tracy Morgan and killed Morgan's friend James McNair in New Jersey. In that crash, the driver had not slept in 24 hours. David, what can you tell us in a little more detail about the crash and so many other cases like it?
Well, I think what we see here is an egregious example of everything that the federal government and to an extent the trucking industry is trying to prevent. You referenced that this guy had been working for 24 hours leading up to the crash. Assuming that's true, you know, we've got a blatant violation of not only the laws and the regulations that are put in place by the government to protect the motoring public and truck drivers from fatigue, but also what's interesting about this wreck is it looks like it took place at about 1 a.m. in the morning, which put this truck driver in a position of being on the road working after the end of a long, long day, at a time when he's probably going to be at his limits and in a low point in terms of driving performance. And unfortunately, it's an egregious example based upon what this truck driver did, and also it gets public notoriety because of the victim involved, Tracy Morgan, but it is very much something that's not limited to him and to that truck driver, and it's things that we see in cases across the country, be it for companies big companies. I believe that the Tracy Morgan accident involved a truck driven on behalf of Walmart, but it can be as a big a company as Walmart. It can be as small a company as a mom-and-pop trucking operation.
And David, in that case, the truck was equipped with anti-collision technology, but that wasn't enough to deter the driver's fatigue. Is that technology sort of up to snuff, as they say, in most trucks on the road?
Unfortunately, it's not going to be found in the vast majority of trucks that are on the road. It's a fairly new technology, so oftentimes you're not going to find it unless the trucks being driven are of the latest model years. And also, it's still found to be a standard, not a standard option. So it's something that the truck purchaser is either going to have to purchase from the manufacturer or do after the fact. And even then, unfortunately, the vehicle doesn't drive itself. We haven't reached the point in the future where you can just get in and the vehicle takes you from where you want to go to where you need to be. The driver still has to play a role in connection with all of this, and any type of technology, be it something that keeps track of the driver's eyes to see if they're drifting, or something in terms of lane technology or essentially forward radar, which detects something in front of them, is still not going to be enough when you consider that the vehicle that that truck driver is responsible for is something upward of 40 tons, 80,000 pounds, you know, traveling at 70 miles an hour.
Well, you know, David, there are federal regulations in place restricting the number of hours that a truck driver can operate the vehicle, but a National Sleep Foundation's poll in 2012 showed that truck drivers worked an average of 10-hour shifts, and almost 40% of the drivers reported that they rarely had a good night's sleep. Doesn't seem like those regulations are working.
Well, I think that they're limited in what they can do. The regulations that you're referring to are the hours of service regulations that are put in place that govern all trucks that are engaged in interstate commerce. And under those regulations, they do limit the amount of time that a driver can both be driving and also be on duty and otherwise working. So for in a given 24-hour period for a property-carrying vehicle, such as, you know, the normal semi-trailers we see going down the road, those drivers can only be on duty for 14 consecutive hours and can only drive consecutively for 11 hours during that time before they're required to have a 10-hour off-duty period to reset the clock. The problem with that, though, still is that 14 hours on duty is certainly a long day that still exists, as was 11 hours of consecutive driving. And so what we have now, I think that there's recognition that the regulations as they have existed since 2003 are probably still not enough to counteract a lot of the driver fatigue. And so those regulations were amended here about a year ago in the summer of 2013. All of the various hour restrictions still exist, but they now also require a truck driver to take a 30-minute break during the first 8 hours of their shift. So they're trying to break up the monotony of a truck driver's workday and the time that they're spent behind the wheel. But the problem is there's a lot of other factors that go into whether or not a person's going to be fatigued over that extended 14 or 11-hour period.
And at the same time, we all know that the truck driver has to drive to make money. So what can help solve the danger you mentioned on our roadways?
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, most truck drivers are going to be paid by the mile. And so they recognize that any time their wheels aren't turning, there's not going to be any income that's coming into them, which is tough for an employee driver. And it's also tough, especially for the independent contractor drivers or those who lease trucks and then work for these large trucking companies, because they recognize not only are they not making money while they're sitting, but also that truck's still costing them money, regardless if it's moving down the road or not. So ultimately, it is going to have to come down to the truck drivers themselves to gain a better appreciation of how fatigue affects their daily job in terms of operating these large vehicles. But they shouldn't have to do it all alone. I mean, we have major trucking companies, even mom and pop trucking companies can help these people to gain an understanding of fatigue, how people become fatigued, and ways to combat it. And also, again, we have the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, who, if you go to their website, has an extensive amount of materials on fatigue. It's one of their focuses, and I think that they will have a continuing movement to develop new regulations and rules as it relates to fatigue.
Well, David, talk to us about the investigations that determine driver fatigue after an accident has occurred. How complicated is that?
It's probably one of the more complicated issues you're going to have to deal with in any motor vehicle collision. And the reason is pretty simple. You know, if you or I go out to the bars and grab a couple beers and we're involved in an accident, it should be obvious to the responding officer that that could be an issue because they'll smell alcohol and we'd be subjected to a blood alcohol test or some other form of toxicology, which is going to show in an objective fashion what our blood alcohol limit is. And there's some accepted science there as reflected in the state and federal laws as to what that limit is going to be, generally 0.8%, so or 0.08. So that's easy, but when you have fatigue, it's very difficult because there is no such thing as an objective test to determine whether or not a driver was, number one, were they fatigued at the time of the wreck, and also, number two, whether that fatigue played a role in the wreck. So it's one of these things where you're going to have to look at multiple sources to determine whether the driver was fatigued because of their work schedule, were they fatigued because of something in their medical background, and how did that fatigue play a role in causing the wreck.
David, what are the next steps when it comes to litigation, and how do you establish the fatigue as a cause?
Anytime that we get a tractor-trailer accident in, just because of the statistics that are out there as it relates to driver fatigue and the role that it plays in motor vehicle collisions, especially as it relates to truck drivers, I go into it thinking it's something that I have to check off of the list and look at. And so it starts almost with very simple things, and it proceeds from there. The first thing that I like to do is I like to look at the accident report and gain an understanding of, for example, what time of day the accident happened. There's a scientific concept known as the circadian rhythm, which is essentially the sleep schedule and the natural clock that we all have. And through that clock, we know that it's time to points of daylight and points of night. And from that, we know also through the science that people are most likely to be involved in a fatigue-related accident from midnight to 6 a.m. in the morning. So you want to gain an appreciation of whether or not the driver that was involved was operating and involved in a wreck at that time. The other thing you look for is whether or not the facts of the accident match some type of fatigued-based driving, such as, you know, drifting into another lane, making a decision that you wouldn't necessarily suspect would occur. From there, you need to take a lot of other steps because ultimately we know the truck driver at the scene is going to say, well, if I wasn't fatigued. And maybe that's a true statement. Maybe it's because of the post-accident adrenaline. So you're going to have to look at other things. You need to look at the driver's record of duty status records to see where they were in terms of how many hours that they've worked, how many hours of rest that they had, things like that. And then you also need to look into the driver's medical background to see if there's anything in that, such as a sleep disorder, sleep apnea, whether or not they've got some condition that would make them more prone to being tired and to being fatigued beyond that you would see in the normal, healthy general population.
Well, you know, David, when there is a collision, whether it's caused by sleep apnea or some of these other issues you mentioned, or just simply driving for too long a period of time, As a result of this driver fatigue, a collision takes place. Who is typically considered the liable party? Is it the driver, or is the trucking company vicariously liable, or is it both? How does that work in the field you've been working in on most of these cases?
Well, typically you're going to have a situation separate and apart from a true independent contractor relationship, which is difficult to find, even despite the various sins that trucking companies may put on it. Is typically the driver is going to be responsible individually for their own acts, but also the motor carrier, the trucking company, is going to be responsible for the acts of its driver. And this is where I think it gets a little bit complicated, but oftentimes, you know, the defense will go on there and say, well, you know, we've accepted responsibility for our truck driver and his actions, but they don't want to take responsibility for their corporate culture. And it's almost a disservice to a driver who's out on the road, who doesn't have the knowledge of the science of fatigue, who doesn't have the knowledge of, you know, the steps that could have been taken by the motor carrier to prevent him from operating a vehicle while being fatigued. And so there's often cases that we have had where we're almost having to become a proponent of the truck driver to say that the truck driver is a victim here as much as our client who was injured, because of the fact that this trucking company knew of these risks, knew of risks specific to the driver, but didn't even let their own driver know what was facing them if they took that vehicle out on the road.
No question. Well, let's take a quick break right now and be back in a minute right here on Ringler Radio with our guest, David Brose, and also our co-host, John Muir. We'll be right back.
This is Ringler Radio from Ringler Associates, the leader in the structured settlements profession nationwide. Did you know that Ringler is involved in a third of all structured settlement cases in the country? Ringler Associates works with all the parties in a lawsuit settlement to find the best possible financial solution for the people involved. There's a Ringler Associate in all the major cities of the U.S. No one has more experience than a Ringler Associate. Check out our new website at www.ringlerassociates.com. for the best information for claimants, legal professionals, and claims personnel, and to find the Ringler Associate nearest you. When it's your interest at stake in a lawsuit settlement, you want only the best financial plan. You can count on Ringler Associates to structure a customized plan that meets the needs of you and your family for the future. Visit RinglerAssociates.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Ringler Radio. Glad you could join us. I'm Larry Cohen, your host, and I'm joined today by my co-host, John Muir, from beautiful Illinois. What town are you in there, John, in Illinois?
We're in Bloomington, which is about 2 hours north of St. Louis and 2 hours south of Chicago.
Sounds like it's perfectly centrally located for you there.
It is.
That's cool. And, of course, our special guest, attorney David Brose, from the law firm Langdon & Emison in Lexington, Missouri. David, you've worked on both sides of trucking cases. Tell us about that and how you apply your past defense work to your current cases representing injured parties.
Well, I think my past in terms of representing trucking companies in the past, it helps me gain an understanding of what they're looking at and what they may view as areas of concern. And it also just gave me a general background from which I could gain an understanding of the trucking industry, how things operate, the relationships and dependencies between drivers and the companies themselves. And so it gives me an opportunity to kind of see the case from both sides.
David, can you provide us with a real example of a case you were involved in surrounding driver fatigue?
Sure, I'll give you two because they're just a little bit of a different scenario. I've got one case that we were involved in where we represented a lady who was struck by a tractor trailer. Within a few hours of that accident, the tractor trailer driver was asked, told that he needed to submit to a sleep study based upon information taken from a survey of him 2 years earlier that showed that he was at severe risk for sleep apnea. He went in, found that he did, in fact, have sleep apnea, and it was of the most severe form. But we argued in that case, and this was what I referenced earlier, kind of almost being a proponent for the driver. The driver was a victim almost in that case as much as our client, because if the trucking company had acted upon the knowledge it had for 2 years, he would have been identified as being at risk and would have gone in and been treated and not had fatigue be an issue in that wreck. Another case in which fatigue had been involved was where a driver who was hired by his uncle had not driven a truck for 30 years, was hauling hog effluent, and essentially had just been worked to the bone for 7 days. And at the end of that 7 day period, fatigue was playing a role, and he turned left in front of a truck that was coming at him at 60 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour. And unfortunately that guy passed away, all because of this guy, was in a schedule where he just couldn't keep up and, fatigue took over.
You know, David, those are unbelievable examples. The NTSB statistics show that driver fatigue, as you mentioned previously here in this discussion, it happens most often in the early morning hours, like 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., but also in what's called a 2 p.m. afternoon slump. I think a lot of us working in offices also experience that slump. And it also happens to those of us who drive cars in the afternoon. How can driver fatigue be prevented? You know, I noticed they sell a lot of products on the you know, the open market, like 5-Hour Energy and Red Bull and those kinds of things that people want to take to keep awake. Is it a matter of some stimulants trying to keep that people more attentive to the road, or is it a bigger problem than that?
It's a bigger problem. I think everybody out there in any situation wants the magic pill that's going to take away any ails or concerns, but that's simply not going to happen. The way to combat driver fatigue is to get sleep. I mean, that is the one and only true cure for driver fatigue. There's something known as cumulative sleep debt. And, you know, every hour that you lose of sleep, it just keeps getting added to the debt. And the only way to get around that, it's not if you take, you know, 5 or 6 bottles of 24-hour energy. The only way to do that is to get sleep. So the way that you prevent fatigue is you have an understanding of the causes, and then you adjust your behavior and your employees' behavior for the trucking company to take the risks associated with that behavior out of your practice and your trucking system.
Along the lines of responsibility, David, do you think that we need to see more rules and regulations when it comes to trucking companies, like education, sleep minimums, maybe shorter driving shifts, or some sort of additional technology?
You know, actually, I think we will see all of those things occur as time moves on. I think there will be more of an emphasis put on trucking companies to educate their drivers as to the risks of fatigue and the causes of fatigue. And so I think that will be coming along the line. Also, in terms of sleep limits, I think that I don't necessarily foresee a change in the 10, 11, and 14-hour rules, but I think we've seen a little bit of a shift in terms of requiring breaks, things like that. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever reach a point where we can take drivers out of trucks at periods where they'd be at most at risk, which is typically over the overnight hours, because it's and there's less traffic and it's easiest for them to drive. But we can help them with technology, like you mentioned earlier, that, you know, watching the driver's eyes to see if they're drifting, anything like that. And I think the best technology that's being put into use by more and more trucking companies is electronic duty record logs, where that's done electronically through a system such as Qualcomm, which essentially takes some of the risks of a driver not being truthful out of their hands, because a trucking company can track not only the record duty status, but can also track the movement of the truck to make sure that the driver is being truthful.
Well, that's terrific. You know, we've had in this discussion, I think it's a primer or a seminar on sleep deprivation and trucking cases. I think our audience is going to be very well informed after listening to all of this discussion. I thank you very much for that, David. If someone wanted to get a hold of you or contact you, David, how would they do that?
Sure. The best way is to call our firm or to go to our firm's website, which is www.langdonemison.com. Also, the firm's number is 660-259-6175. We do all types of cases, and certainly trucking. We like to hold out as one of our specialties, and we hope that no one is involved in a wreck where they need our help, but that's not a reality, and we want to be there for those that have to take on those circumstances.
Terrific. And, John, how about yourself? If someone wanted to contact you, how would they do that?
You can go to the Ringler Associates website, and if you type in Illinois or Missouri, we'll pop up on the screen with all our information there.
Terrific. And to our audience out there, you can reach any Ringler Associates on ringlerassociates.com. It's got all of the associates around the country. You can contact them. All their information is there. They even have their pictures, which is pretty cool. And also some great information as well. And if you want to listen to this radio show or any of the other, you know, hundreds of radio shows that we've done, you can go to ringlerassociates.com, ringlerradio.com, or legaltalknetwork.com, or you can even go to iTunes and download it directly to your iPod or iPad and listen at your leisure. And you can hear David Bros and John Murin and myself talk about sleep deprivation and trucking accidents or anything else that makes you have a good time. So with that, I want to say thank you very much, David.
Thank you very much, Larry and John. I appreciate the opportunity to speak both with you and to some of the people out here about this issue.
Terrific. And John, thanks for being a great co-host.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Terrific. And to the rest of you out there, go have a great day.
The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer. Thanks for listening to Ringler Radio. With over a million listeners, Ringler Associates, the first name in structured settlements. Visit ringlerassociates.com today.